Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for a better pre-owned buying experience, Lakewood Chev has certified pre-owned vehicles that are fully inspected, warrantied by General Motors, and have a 30-day exchange privilege. It's Lakewood Chev. Brian Rashog from TSN, who broke the Herbie firing earlier today. Shogger, rather surprising train of events, although last week I had a conversation with Herbie that left me thinking, oh, geez, I guess contract talks aren't going well, but I didn't think it would escalate that quickly. Lo and behold, it does. What do you think?
Yeah, well, listen, something doesn't pass the smell test for me. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff to kind of cover here. Like, if Len Rhodes went to Ed Hervey and said, Ed, you're opening up the locker room this year, we're doing the mics, you're doing this and that for marketing, and that's the end of the discussion, and Ed said, no, I'm not, then Len probably has to, or certainly has the right to say, Ed, you're doing it or you're fired. You can't have the tail wagging the dog, right? I understand that concept. Now, the problem is, those are all things that Ed got away with doing last year. So he's firing Ed for doing things that he let him do last year. Now, why didn't he fire him at the time if these things are so bad? Why wait till now? You have a year to negotiate his contract still. Why do you call it an impasse a year ahead of time? I don't understand. If that conversation actually happened between Rhodes and Hervey, you're doing these things or you're fired, and Ed said, well, I ain't doing them, and he fired him. Well, then Ed, then I get why Len did what he did. But, I mean, as we reported on today, Hervey agreed to do the live mics this year, which was one of the main reasons that one of the main incidents that was cited today by Rhodes. And so then you take that out of the equation, and it boils down to what? You're firing a coach firing a GM because you don't like the locker room access he wants for his players. You got to be able to stick handle around something like that, don't you? I mean, don't you have to be able to manage that situation beyond throwing the baby out with the bathwater and firing a general manager that in the next breath you'll stand there and praise over and over and over for being one of the best out there?
I would agree. You're right. During the press, there was like, well, he's great as a football guy. And so clearly there was some difference of opinions, I think, on how they want to deal, not only with the league, but even with some of their stakeholders, as they call it. And, you know, certain access thing, like to me, I don't think having, two fans on the field during warm-up is going to sell more tickets. That's my own humble opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe suddenly everybody and their dog will be lining up for that. And if they are, great. But that part I found rather interesting about it. You know, I've talked to Ed, and you've talked to Ed, and, you know, him and I have agreed to disagree on it numerous times that, you know, he had become a bit inclusive at times.
Well, yeah, like Ed was a quirky general manager, right? He was quirky. There were certain things that he didn't like. He liked to protect his players. He liked to protect what he considered to be their house. We weren't allowed to walk in certain areas around the stadium. We weren't allowed to talk to certain people at certain times. Ed was a micromanager in some of those ways. And I think Ed will admit he likes to have things a certain way. They're what he feels need to be in place to have success. So in my opinion, did Ed overhandle the puck on a number of different things? Definitely. Absolutely. But the other thing Ed did was win.
Yep.
He put together really good football teams, set this organization straight, and won. So, was he hard to deal with? Maybe. Sounds like it. Was he quirky and maybe overhandled the puck a little bit? Definitely. Do you have to fire a guy rather than find a way around those things? Like, listen, man, good NHL general managers, good professional sport general managers, sometimes the superstars are kind of savant. They're kind of quirky. They're kind of odd, and you have to learn to manage some of those things, right? Because they're just really, really good at what they do. And they mean the difference between winning and losing. And I just can't help but feel that unless Ed flat out defied Rhodes to the point where he gave him no choice, I want to know if that conversation happened. Did it go down like that? Because I asked Len that question directly today. So you talked to Ed about access, about these sorts of things, and he was refusing to do what you wanted moving forward. And he said, yes. So to me, if that was the case, then Ed overplayed his hand. But a few things don't jive, man. Like, a few things don't quite add up. He was going to do the mics. He admitted that back in December. He'd had the meeting with the media earlier on this year talking about access-wise. He wasn't giving everything, but he wasn't just completely shutting it out either. Something doesn't add up, and it seems odd to me.
Although I will say, since that meeting, there was no change. Requests never got responded to, so...
Yeah, and you don't do yourself any favors, right? And so then on top of that, you enter into a negotiation. And it's an aggressive negotiation where all of a sudden an agent shows up on your behalf and you start throwing some heavy numbers around, right? Well, Ed felt, I assume, like he should be paid among the best general managers in the league.
I think it's safe to say that Hervey deserved Edmonton Eskimos have a lot of money. Right, they still average the most fans, and Hervey's one of how many GMs in the league who has a great cup. He definitely should have been top three paid GMs. I don't think anyone can argue that.
Right, but this is the problem. When you are a little bit quirky with some of the control you want, when you do tend to overmanage certain things, maybe you're pretty aggressive and overplay your hands on some fronts, you're going to wrinkle some feathers, you're going to piss some people off, and so you will make enemies doing things the way Ed Hervey does business. But he wins. But you're going to piss some people off. Then all of a sudden you show up aggressive in a negotiation. You arm people with more reasons to, if they were looking for reasons to begin with, you just armed them with more. And for some reason, whatever was going on behind the scenes was so bad that, and I don't believe in just some difference in philosophy. That to me doesn't, it had to be so flipping bad that to justify firing a talent like the talent he has that Len sat there and described to us today. And it just, it doesn't pass the smell test to me.
Ron Schrock from TSN. Do you think Hervey is back in the CFL before the end of the season?
Well, I guess we gotta, like, openings aren't, they don't happen necessarily all that often. Do I think he's done anything that will make him unhirable? No, I don't think so. I think, listen, if I heard all the rumors and all the things about what was going on behind the scenes and this or that, if I were a president hiring Ed Hervey, I would ask him the question, Ed, I'm responsible to, you know, to our ownership. And as a result, I need to be in charge of the marketing direction of this team and our relationships with our major partners. I need to know you're going to play ball. And if Ed, maybe, I don't know if there's a lesson to be learned here or not, because I don't know exactly what Ed was or wasn't doing, but the answer to that question needs to be yes. And if the answer to that question is yes, I'll give you my opinion and I'll fight you on some stuff. But at the end of the day, you draw a line and say, this is the way it's got to be. I respect you have final say. Then absolutely Ed will get hired because he's proven what he can do on the football ops side. I mean, he's proven himself to be a more than capable general manager, a really good general manager. So I don't know exactly what went on here. I don't know if Ed was directly flat out defying Len Rhodes heading into this season with their intentions. But that's kind of the way Len made it sound today. So I'm very interested to know if that happened or not and why Len couldn't stick handle around the situation a little better considering the talent that Hervey is.
Well, I think it's a two-pronged concern for the Eskimos. The one advantage they have is Hervey left the team in significantly better form than he took it over. There's no debating that. The Eskimos are a much better team than the tire fire that he inherited. So his successor will have a much easier job to maintain that. Also, though, the Eskimos, the one thing they talked about was, you know, more access. And then, you know, media access is great. Trust me, I've talked about it. I thought it was a major mistake on Ed's part. And Ed and I agree. We agreed to disagree on that, and that's fine. And I didn't mean I lost respect for him. I just didn't agree with him on that one. But now I want to see what the Eskimos have plans are. Because if I don't see anything significant, and that was their major cause, was a philosophical difference for some new, you know, ways to enhance fans. If I don't see anything significant, well, then it's the decision's not even questionable. It's downright ridiculous.
My guess is you're going to notice next to nothing. That in terms of tangible change, oh, Hervey's not here, so now this happens. Our media access will change, which, you know, as a member of the media who has a job to do, you appreciate the powers in the organization flexing their muscles and fighting for our rights. Sure. As a journalist, I look at the situation and go, should you be firing a talented GM because he's pissing us off? No. So there's kind of, I'm a little bit it's a bit of a dichotomy there a little bit because I'm on both sides of that. But I don't think as far as the other tangible benefit to the average season ticket holder, to the, there'll be some little things where some of the spots where Ed maybe overplayed his hand a little bit, maybe overthought things a little bit, who knows? And, you know, in my opinion, he did at certain times. But I don't think that the actual different, I don't think it'll be a noticeable difference in many different ways. Like, I mean, I asked the question to Len. So if all of a sudden our media access is better and access for your fans is better, but your team wins fewer games, do you think you're going to sell more tickets? The bottom line is nothing will sell more tickets than having a successful team. I don't care if I get to go sit down and have dinner with Odell Willis and put it live on television. Like that's not going to sell more tickets than a successful team. So it must have been really, really bad for them to have been willing to fire a talented general manager. And if it wasn't really, really bad, then this was a big, big mistake.
Let's move to the Edmonton Oilers, Sugar. A big win last night, all but guaranteeing themselves a second place. Now they just need a point against the 29th place of Vancouver Canucks in two games on Saturday and Sunday. Milan Lucic, outstanding performance from a big hit to a fight to a natural hat trick in the third period. His own coach said he was tremendous. The Oilers only allowed 15 shots on goal in that game. Oscar Klefbom, career high in 4 points. What stood out for you outside of the obvious in Lucic?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, and I do want to talk a little bit about Lucic because the goals were great. The net front presence was great. But I think what stood out for me with Lucic is how he has the ability to flip a switch and hit a different level. And I think it's hard for him to do it over the course of an 82 game season enough. But to me, if that is like, this could be where Milan Lucic truly pays off. And I know you've said this before too, like he is that guy that's been in these battles before and knows what it takes to win. And I think Milan Lucic has the ability to elevate that way consistently at playoff time. So if that's the case, and that's what he's going to be able to bring, not a hat trick every night, but just, I mean, he was bullish last night. Everything he did, he was powerful. He skated extremely well, made smart plays, was bombing into guys. Like, you know, he goes into a little bit of a slumber through an 82-game season, but man, I think in the playoffs is where he's really going to stand out. As far as other things that stood out to me, you know, I this might go the other way a little bit. I've got a circle around that third D pairing with a question mark next to it. Darnell Nurse has looked a little bit frenetic. His game is getting away from him just a little bit. He's getting a little loose. He's getting himself into some trouble. He seems primed to be taking penalties in the playoffs. Like he and Benning and even Greiba a little bit, their games are getting away from them just a little bit. And I think they need to dial it in because they are going to have to play some significant minutes. Is that fair?
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, for sure. And I look the Lucic, Eberle, Nugent, Hopkins line. Like Lucic has 11 goals in his last 20 games.
Yep.
You know, Eberle has 13 points in 20 games. More so for Eberle is the fact that you know he's not a defensive liability anymore. That line has definitely elevated their play here the last few games and really even the last month, considering where it was. Eberle still not as efficient shooting the puck as he has been in the past. His shooting percentage is almost half of his career, so it looks like an outlier season. But that line looks like, you know, that they can at least hold the fort down on the rare night when McDavid and Draisaitl aren't lighting it up.
Well, don't you think, though, Lucic will be the guy who, once the playoffs start, he'll stand on the end of the bench and turn around and bark at his team. And like guys will kind of have no choice but to ramp it up with him. I think he will command that from certain players on that team. And if his level is as high as I think it can get to, and as we saw in that game, guys are going to have no choice but to follow. And I think that's really going to be invaluable in the playoffs. I view him as he's a good teammate and he's a good leader through the regular season. But in the playoffs, I think he's going to take those attributes to another level. And I think that's really going to benefit some of these guys that haven't done this before.
Sugar, have yourself a good weekend. Are you going to the game on Sunday?
I shall be there. You betcha.
Well, Shagar, make sure your tie's straight, and we'll talk to you then.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. See ya.